My name is John Erling, and today's date is November 20th, 2013. Jay, would you state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age?
Well, my legal name is Philip J. O'Melia. My date of birth is July 17th, 1927.
That makes you how old?
86.
About your name, Philip J. O'Melia, why aren't you known as Phil or Philip? We all know you as Jay. What's the story there?
I hated Philip because when I was in grade school, Little Lord Fauntleroy was in, you know, and they said,
"Here comes Little Philip."
And I'd have to knock some kid's head off out on the playground. So finally, when I was in the fifth grade, I went to a parochial school, Marquette, and I asked the sweet nun, I said, "Sister Mariana, please don't call me Philip. I get in these problems," and she says, "I know with the reports coming back on the playground that you seem to be getting in trouble out there." I said, "Well, they'd make fun of me." And I said, "I don't take that too well." I said, "I want to be known as Jay because my mother, when she was pregnant with me, her fourth child, she wanted a girl so bad that she, by golly, being a full-blooded Prussian German and matriarch type, was going to will herself to have a girl for her fourth child. Unfortunately, Dr. McDonald, who was the first OB in Tulsa at that time, came in. My mother's name was George Anna, but everybody called her George. He said, "George, Phyllis is now Philip." And my dad said, "That's the first time I ever heard your mother use a four-letter word." So she said, "Well, by God, he's going to be Philip then." So I just never liked it. It looks good on other people.
Okay, so then when you wanted to be known as Jay at school, did your parents then, everybody pick up on that?
Yep.
They honored that.
They honored that.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I've honored it. And on credit cards or on business stuff, I tell them, I know I have to use my legal name of Philip, but my name is Jay. That's what I go by, okay?
We're recording this interview here in our recording facilities here at VoicesOfOklahoma.com. Where were you born?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, at St. John's Hospital.
Your mother's full name?
Georgiana Loffersweiler. That's Prussian, full-blooded Prussian. Her father, actually, her mother, came from Münster, Germany, to Minster, Ohio. This little farming community north of Dayton, most of them were like the Westerheides and the Brennans and the Loffersweiler. There was a large German farming community. So they adopted the name Minster, you know, Americanized it from Münster. So that was where she came from.
That's obviously then where she grew up. What was she like? Describe her, and was she artistic?
Well, she was very artistic. She had the talent of her 17 other brothers and sisters. She was the second youngest of 18. In fact, I'm going to use a picture in my book. The only thing that we have of her work is a charcoal drawing, which is fabulous. But in those days, young ladies did not go to art school and draw naked people. They became teachers or they became wives and mothers. So her little brother, Uncle Woody, came along, and he was talented. But by then, the parents had passed away. So three of the oldest sort of were their parents, you know, surrogate-type parents. Aunt Loretta, Uncle Morris, I remember the names of them. So they were the elder of this crowd of kids, and they were not going to see Woody go to art school. He was going to go to Ohio State University and get a business degree and become a businessman, because he was really a smart young man. But my mother said, okay. She met my dad at Wright-Patterson during the First World War.
And his name?
William John.
William John O'Melia.
Uh-huh. Commonly known as Wild Bill O'Melia is where he became.
So they met, you said?
At Wright-Patterson, there, Wright Field, during the First World War. He flew the old Jennies. He was in the original Signal Corps, which was the beginning of the Air Force. They would have these tea dances for the young officers and enlisted men, and they'd bring the young ladies in from the surrounding communities. That's where Dad met Mother. Here was this crazy shanty Irishman from Eddystone, Pennsylvania, which was South Philly, on the wrong side of the track as far as Philadelphia was concerned. met this very sophisticated young lady. You know, the German and the Irish seem to be a perfect match for some reason. It's what they call opposites attract. Dad was a typical Irishman. We called him the James Cagney of Tulsa. He could dance. He started the Irish American Club here and was an entertainer. And we found out later that he would always MC all the shows in the service there at Wright-Patterson, which was then called Wright Field, I think, not Wright-Patterson. But anyway, he was an entertainer.
He was not artistic, though, was he?
Only with his mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Did you inherit some of that?
I think, yes. You're pushing me there. Okay. Mother was the talented one. So when they got married and moved to Chicago, Mother said, one weekend, we're going to drive down to Columbus, Ohio, and we're going to get my little brother, Woody, and we're going to bring him up to Chicago, and I'm going to enroll him in the Chicago Art Institute. Dad said, okay, George, whatever you say. And that's what they did, brought Woody to Chicago. He lived with them, enrolled at the Chicago Art Institute, which was a great school at that time. Taught the basics, what we call the basics, drawing, painting, and picture making.
Could anybody get in?
You had to submit samples. Oh, yeah. You worked towards a fine art degree. Things were tight then, and so he got a job at the Chicago Tribune, working at night to help pay for his classes and so forth. And then he started doing some little cartoons. He started creating a column while he was a student and eventually became fascinated by boxing and baseball and things of this nature. So when he graduated from the Chicago Art Institute, all his brothers and sisters were just still madder than hell at Mother and Dad for doing this. He had a contract with the NEA Syndic. He got syndicated right out of art school through the Chicago Tribune. And he was making like $800, $900 a month. And back in those days, that was a lot of money. And then he created the sports drawings and illustrations on the sports page. He was the first George Plimpton. You've heard of Plimpton, yep. You know, the paper. Okay. Uncle Woody would suit up with the Yankees. He sparred with Gene Tunney, Max Schmeling. He was the one that brought me a Babe Ruth baseball. And then he would do stories and illustrate. I got three original panels in my studio that I've saved over the years. Uncle Woody willed them to me after he saw this kid, you know, was going to, oh boy. He used to pass through Tulsa on a train heading to the West Coast for a ball game or a story. And always would stop in Tulsa. Just the neatest guy. Unfortunately, died at a very young age. He was only 31.
Wow.
And her other brother, Uncle John, who was just 12 months older than Woody, just a few months older than my mother, because there was two mothers that raised these nine on one and nine on another. So the total was 18. But anyway, Uncle John became a doctor. He died just 12 months after Uncle Woody. He locked himself up with a patient and was trying to break down measles, trying to develop a cure for measles. The patient survived and Uncle John didn't. It just broke my mother's heart, of course. Well, at that time, my oldest brother, who's 6 years older than me, said, Mom, that's okay. I'm going to become a doctor for Uncle John. And here, little jerk, Amelia, the youngest, came. Well, I'm going to take Uncle Woody's place. I'm going to be an artist, okay?
You said.
Yeah. I was 4 or 5 at that time or something. I was fascinated by Uncle Woody when he would come to visit, and he'd always bring something that he had done art-wise. And Mother saw that her youngest was going to get in trouble in school, which he did, drawing on the side of his papers while he was supposed to be studying. So anyway, I started studying at 9. She got me in a class.